Support for TPR comes from UT San Antonio, offering degree programs and research focused on workforce development, student success, and health innovation across Texas. UTSA.edu. UT San Antonio, the University of Ambition.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Could Project Marvel break the mold on how San Antonio votes on municipal improvement bonds? It will take bond dollars to pay for some of the infrastructure improvements for the downtown sports and entertainment district. But how should that be laid out in the next bond election to give it more transparency, to give voters more of a say on this issue of Project Marvel? District 4 Councilmember Edward Munguia joins us to tell us more. And Edward Munguia, welcome to The Source.
Hi, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
So what problem are you trying to solve by proposing how San Antonio could vote on these bond projects?
Absolutely. I think it's a level of transparency and reminding voters and the public that financing for the stadium, this project, is very nuanced. And I've been very consistent from the beginning about that, that we got to tap in and use these special dollars, these PFZ funds, as much as possible for this project. And try not to rely as much on bond, which is shared by the entire city of San Antonio.
So how would it look on the? I've voted in many of these bond elections. You have one proposition for streets and sewers and another one for parks and things. So how would you break it out? What would I be looking at when I go vote?
Sure. So if you're a bond voter, you're recognized props one, streets and sidewalks, props two, drainage, prop three, parks and rec. So what the attorneys are telling us at the city is that due to some state law, it would probably be Prop 1, Streets and Sidewalks, Prop 1B, Streets and Sidewalks related to the Entertainment District. And so they're saying for any type of project that would find itself in one of those propositions, you'd have a sub-prop to vote on. So you'd vote Prop 1A, vote on that, Prop 1B, yes or no, and then you'd have the rest of the props as normal.
And it would be everyone in San Antonio who would be able to vote on that particular bond item, that sub item that would be dedicated to Project Marvel?
Yes, anybody in the city of San Antonio limits would get to vote on that proposition.
Even so, what is the tie-in with District 1? How does that flow into that?
Yes, and so that's going to be a conversation we have with the city, because that's come up, right? What would be considered a District 1 project that finds itself in any of those propositions versus something in the Entertainment District? In my opinion, and what I've told staff is, well, you got to make a determination. You got to draw a line. There might be something across the street for Lavaca, right, that specifically helps that neighborhood. Understandable. That's going to happen. That should be in the regular proposition. But if it's anything related to the infrastructure and development of the Entertainment District, which is much more than the Spurs arena for sure, needs to be, in my mind, separately considered.
So we would have, the vibe of the bond election would be this is another opportunity to vote for or against Project Marvel. And if people don't like Project Marvel, they could say, I'm not going to vote in favor of that sub item on the bond menu. And it would basically, torpedo Project Marvel?
Well, no doubt some people would certainly vote on that premise and that idea alone. That's not necessarily my goal, right? I think it's all about approving public funding that is not special PFZ. This is debt service dollars that every homeowner pays. Do you want that type of funding to go to that project versus what I approved along with six other council members, in the, which was utilizing PFZ funding and TERS dollars to pay for this type of project?
Let's go to some callers. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. I want to hear what you got to say about this proposal. Let's go first to Carl. And Carl, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for having me on. I'm just wondering, is this entertainment district going to turn out to be another Fiesta Plaza Mall project where the city is tied to millions of dollars and bonds, and nothing comes of it? It's just a sore to the city?
All right. Well, Carl, appreciate you calling in on that. And so your council member, what do you have to say?
Absolutely. I want to make sure folks understand, you know, what would be in that bond, right? It's going to be infrastructure to help some of these things. So not necessarily facilities. But then again, you know, the city has not told us even the exact dollar amount or what would be considered projects for the entertainment district. So, you know, with the term sheet that we passed, there's some rules and regulations, and there's some clawbacks for funding that we're going to put forward. And again, it's that funding that we approved at the city council is not general fund dollars from your property tax or debt service that goes to pay bonds from your property tax. So, you know, whether you believe in the project or not is one thing for sure. But we want to make sure folks understand what will be on the ballot and what you can expect.
Because Project Marvel happens with the proposal and the private dollars and everything that's going into county dollars that are going into that. But there will be infrastructure improvements that will be needed, say, like on Durango Street, or just getting around it, building new sidewalks, maybe the extension of the Riverwalk. Who knows? We haven't been told a lot.
Right.
And so that's going to require bond dollars, right?
It's going to require funding for the improvements that you're talking about. Right now, what I'm trying to figure out is, does it necessarily need bond funding that is shared throughout the rest of the city versus some of this PFZ funding that you can use for infrastructure needs that can only go to that area of the city?
But this is not just a very hyper-local construction project. We're talking about, you know, the entire city will probably, you know, one time or another end up going to this facility. You know, a lot of people will. Mm-hmm. Just like a lot of people go to Spurs games, you know, and you want to have roads to get in and out of the arena where the Spurs are playing, particularly when they're in a championship, you know, which I understand is happening, you know, right now. So why wouldn't you want to have the entire city or have the whole city kind of weigh in on that?
Yeah, well, the whole city will get to weigh in on that regardless of how it is, if it gets on the bond program. But I'll also tell you a counterpoint, right? Thousands of people drive down Zarzamora every single day. And that is going to be an extremely costly project. So the more money that goes into the center of the city through the bond specifically and into a very specific footprint within downtown does mean less money to go around the rest of the city and each individual council district.
Some people are saying that this creates a precedent that we're going to have to do more of these sub items in bond elections in which we're going to have people voting on these issues like a Zarzamora improvement. And then you end up with a lot of people in San Antonio say, I never drive down Zarzamora. Why would I vote for that? And so it kind of breaks up the idea that we are all in one city and we all should be voting on these things as a collective, since it is all of us paying tax dollars for these, paying the bond, you know, paying those bonds off together. So do you think this just kind of fractures what the city of San Antonio does when it comes to bonds?
I don't think it does. And I've heard that argument. I've heard the slippery slope argument. At the end of the day, the city council gets to decide how these things are going to be on the ballot. So I haven't said by district, I haven't said north side by south side, but the people who don't agree with me have said that. And so I don't understand where that comes from. This is a radical re-envisioning of downtown. This is now the second decade of downtown. So we're coming up on 20 years of millions of dollars of investment in a very particular part of the city, which comes at the cost of having that investment go to other parts of the city where, you know, my district doesn't touch, you know, downtown at all. So, you know, I don't buy those arguments. I don't think that we will do anything like that as far as, you know, individual districts. Every major project that is sports related has typically been actually on its own. So if you look at the way the city financed the Alamo Dome, that was a standalone election and it was sales tax, right? So we have precedent actually for voting on individual items as it relates to sports facilities.
Spurs are doing really well right now. Do you
Absolutely.
Think that people are going to be caught up in the, you know, run for the rings, and they're going to be more likely to favor the Spurs if they hadn't even gotten into the playoffs?
Well, I do have to say, I think the Spurs are doing a better job convincing people of the arena than the campaign did. But I would say that, you know, that's up to people. And if you believe that, and that, then there should be no problem having it be separate on the bond.
But you want people to think about this looking at the spreadsheet and not so much as the scoreboard.
Exactly. It's the finances. It's the mechanisms on this. And I have told people from the beginning, when it comes to the bond, that's a different story, right? So I want people to pay attention to the money behind it and get to decide, do we use this public money for this? We're using this money over here. And so I want people to see a little bit deeper into the details.
And we have less public money for a bond election than we've had in previous years.
Yes.
And so we have to be, you know, really smart about how we use those dollars.
Absolutely. If we stick with the current capacity, which is estimated to be at $600 million, and you're looking at $150 million at least for housing, or $100 million, you take that off the top, and then you take whatever project costs, which we don't even know the number yet, maybe $200, $250, you're left with that for the rest of the city. And that is just not enough.
So people will have to be making sacrifices on flood control, drainage, streets and sidewalks and other parts of San Antonio in order to pay for Project Marvel improvements.
If we utilize bond funding, absolutely.
All right, we're going to talk more about that. I'm going to get Kathy on the air with her comments and questions. If you got comments and questions about Project Marvel and paying for it with this bond, whether or not we should break it out on the bond election, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Back with more with District 4 Councilmember Edward Munguia right after this one-minute break.
Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. District 4 Councilmember Edward Munguia is in the studio today. He is taking your questions and calls. We're talking about Project Marvel. How would we be voting for it in the upcoming municipal improvement bond elections? This is something that everyone in San Antonio should have a say on. Give us a call, 833-877-8255. Let's go to Kathy on the phones. And Kathy, you're on the air.
Hi there. I just wanted to build on the comment about a potential fracturing of the city. In my opinion, one thing that fractures San Antonio is the lack of civic engagement on these issues, the lack of transparency and sharing all of this planning information with the public early on. And I really don't understand. I'd like the councilman to give his opinion on what is the reason for the city being so behind on providing the basic information on the current status of the downtown Spurs Stadium, infrastructure funding, bond details. Why are there no town halls happening and big public events outside of city council meetings in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week, where most people cannot attend? It's frustrating, and I think we should be doing more.
All right, Kathy, thank you for your question. And Councilmember Munguia.
Yes, well, this kind of came to light a couple of weeks ago when the city council voted to not hear a presentation about Project Marvel before we voted on items. And
that was weird.
It was, yes.
I mean, you're going to have a vote on a very complicated, robust package of contracts, and you don't want to review it. And you said, no, we don't need to look at these slides. It seemed like they were rushing through it deliberately. It had a bad look.
It in hindsight, it did. The other thing is that the presentations about what we were going to vote on came after that. So that was just going to be a checkpoint, and I think the rest of it was saying, make this decision, do the checkpoint with these things. And what I recommended is the city needs to do some sort of quarterly meeting about Project Marvel, whether that's an online forum, an in-person town hall, because without the website being put up yet that we all want to do, folks are left wondering what the updates are. And there's times where there's months with absolutely no update. But as it pertains to the bond development, and that's what's been concerning to me, is I have no idea what projects they're even thinking of putting for the entertainment district or what the cost is going to be. And I haven't heard a good explanation why we wouldn't be able to use PFZ, which is designed to help facilitate the construction of these projects, why we're not tapping into that or what restrictions there are. So the city, in my mind, certainly has been behind with trying to give us updates on these projects. And I understand that maybe in a couple of weeks we're going to get a bond update. So we should expect some public information about Project Marvel, the entertainment district, and what could be there. But, you know, May is around the corner. We've got to put this on the ballot by April. We have to have our community weigh in on these different boards, right? We usually have community reviews for each proposition. So, and then we've got the holidays in between. So we need to speed it up a little bit.
Because you'd be voting on this in, what, summer of 2027?
Correct. So most of council wanted this to be on, the whole bond to be on the ballot for May of 2027.
Right. Okay. Let's go to Bennett on the phones. Bennett, you're on the air.
All right. Look, you know, I think San Antonio has the idea that it's a local Washington, D.C., where we have the federal government to back us up every time we want to go on a toot. You know, I came to San Antonio about 35 years ago. The Spurs were playing in the Coliseum. Then they had the Alamo Dome. Then they had that thing there in the warehouse district. Now you're looking at another one. You know, and then you want to have a trolley car. And then when you think about it, there's no reality to all this. The city has to grow by itself, not by a socialist idea of public funding. If we spend the money, we'll get something back on it. And I think, you know, it's like the old saying, just because you have Bojangles on your spurs doesn't mean you know how to ride a horse.
All right, sir. Bennett, thank you for the call. You want to react to that at all?
Yes, I love the last line especially, but we do have to consider that this is not.
He says Bojangles. I mean, they're Spurs.
Yeah, I thought he meant the chicken place, but I maybe it was a spur. But you know, New York City, right? The governor's not going to come in and save the day on our budget woes. So he's absolutely right about that. We don't have the support from our state government that other cities do, which is why we need to be transparent about where the money comes from. PFZ, right, relies on give back of the state from sales tax. Bond is property tax. So we want to make sure people understand those differences in financing.
Do you think that we are now committed that Project Marvel is a reality and it will happen, and now we're just kind of dealing with some of the questions of how we're going to pay for it?
Yeah, the ship has left the station on this one, right? So Project Marvel is the entertainment district is progressing. The Spurs Stadium is progressing. They're doing their part of the arrangement that we pass with the term sheet. So that is moving. I think we have to remember that the entertainment district, you know, was just a large idea, right? This is before my time, and we can criticize the rollout and the planning efforts, but that's in the past. These are huge, big ideas. And so as we move forward throughout the years, things are going to change and adapt. And we want to make sure we're transparent and get community feedback on that. But we also have to make some priorities, right? As we see the sales tax decline, as we see some of the tourism be slow, and even property tax revenue coming in slow. So we do have to adjust and adapt. But the first major piece of this is going to be the Spurs Stadium. And that certainly is on its way for development.
The Saws chilling plant will not move. It was always kind of a suspicious kind of an idea. We knew it was going to be very expensive, and not just expensive, but disruptive to all of downtown to move those chilling pipes around the city. So were you relieved when the Saws said we're not going to move that chilling plant right across the street from the convention center?
Yes, I was relieved and actually not surprised. I mean, I think most of us figured this was not going to pan out. And you have to remember, when you have these planning, which I don't fault folks for doing, is you just dream big and you try to think, move this here, put a hotel here, move this there. And so you're playing with all these properties, or you're looking at this, and then you start to go down the list of what's possible, what's not, what's feasible, where is there support? Oh, you know,
we had that conversation, and it seemed like they were actually serious about it and was like, this is not a serious idea. From the very beginning, it seemed like, how are you even proposing this? I mean, it didn't really hold up. And then now we're at the point where they have to admit this cannot happen.
It's a very bold idea, right? I mean, also look at the development of Hemisphere itself, right? Back in the day, all sorts of controversies for sure. But, you know, those were some monumental tasks they decided to go on to.
But look at the dividends that Hemisphere has paid off. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's still arguments to be made about, you know, the bulldozing of Irish Flats and getting rid of that neighborhood. But, you know, we did benefit with a major, you know, all sorts of it changed the city's trajectory.
Right. And in this case, hotel, you know, probably I don't think it was as a great need in that particular area. And so not surprising. And I'm glad, you know, that's a no. Moving on.
Let's go to Cindy on the phone. Cindy, you're on the air.
Are you here?
Yeah, you're on the air. Cindy,
is it recording?
Well, you're on the air. You're live.
But he's talking.
Okay, it's your radio. There's a delay.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. Okay, my name is Cindy, and I want to congratulate Councilman Munguia for taking this stand. I've got to turn down my machine. We talked about public meetings. They've already had a couple, and at the D8 meeting, the city manager gave these numbers, $500 million for the bond and $220 to $250 for infrastructure around the arena, for the arena. And that looks like 50% of our bond for infrastructure that could be paid with the PFC. And I am so grateful that you are taking the stand, and I want that language to be clear, understood by the voter. They know going in whether they're voting on giving up our bond money. I also wanted to say that a couple of council persons have said they don't want a tax increase, and I think our situation is so dire that they are in favor. Those who say they don't want a tax increase have supported Marvel. And if you support Marvel and the housing that we had before, that takes out $250 and $150, that's $400. And that means you got $100 million for the people of San Antonio by 10 districts. That's $10 million a district for, what, 4 or 5 years, which is ridiculous. And the other thing is that I wanted to count that you have countered already is that this will divide community because it goes by area. And I wanted to say that this downtown entertainment district has three TERS. And these tax incentive reinvestment zones divide the community. They isolate all this money and all this tax revenue just for neighborhoods. And they have three of them in this neighborhood. And now they want to go after the bond, which would be paid out of the general fund, which they don't pay into. And we have a right to know all of what's happening and what our choices are.
Okay, Cindy, I got to cut you go because we're running out of time here. Appreciate it. So real quickly, she has a lot of good things to say there, and I really appreciate her call and her well-informed view. But do you think the rest of the city council, we know it's one block versus another block, is going to let this happen?
You know, I would push back on the block because I'm one of the folks that voted for the term sheet that has this opinion. So I'm not sure, you know, where folks are landing on it. I don't know what the level of support looks like now. I'm just trying to focus on the issue. But we want to make sure we want to let residents know what's possible, what's out there, and what they can advocate for within their own communities and council offices.
We got to have transparency, public conversations, give people information, let them know that there are alternative ways of doing things, not just one particular way, something that will benefit the entire city for the long run. District 4 Councilmember Edward Munguia, thanks so much for coming in studio.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.